Indeed, He does have the whole world in His hands. He is sovereign over all things. And one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot recently is that He certainly cares and loves the world. For God so loved the world, right? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so the world is in His hands, and He loves the world, and He desires for all people to come to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to receive salvation. And so I've thought about that concept a lot recently. I've thought about the importance of missions recently. And so I want to talk about that. And you might be thinking to yourself, didn't we just talk about missions recently? And indeed we did. We just completed, not long ago, a mission effort, mission drive, mission offering called the North American Mission Board Annie Armstrong Offering to give to missions. And of course, during the Christmas season, we give what is called the Lottie Moon Offering, mission giving offering for worldwide missions. But I want to share with you something that I'm talking about or referencing. See, I'm not just talking about sending missionaries and praying for missionaries, all of which is very important, right? Would you agree with me? That's very important. What I'm talking about this morning is being a missionary. You see where I'm going? It's the idea of having the concept and the mindset that not only are we sending missionaries and praying for them as we are sending them, but we intend, with God's help, to be missionaries as well, if you will, to the folks that we encounter within our lives. So I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15, this is our theme verse this morning. It'll launch us into our discussion this morning. This idea of the importance of having a missional mindset, if you will, for every believer in Christ. This should be close to our heart. This should be on our mind. This should be very important. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it goes on to say this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful already for all that you have done in our lives. We've been thankful for the opportunity to gather together as a community of believers and to open the Word of God in Sunday school, and now to be able to open the Word of God once again in this service. We're so grateful for the opportunity to sing your praises. We pause right now to spend time in your Word, to be reminded that we have received a great love. And so it is important for us to share that love with others. So we do pray your blessing upon this time as we examine this verse a little bit closer. Help us as we examine other passages as well. Teach us by your mighty Holy Spirit. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory for what you accomplish within this service. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our verse, it's a powerful verse. It's a simple verse, if you will. But it has profound teaching and profound meaning if you look at it very closely and if you examine it a little bit further. The idea of having this missional mindset, it begins with having a heart for the Lord, which in turn will lead us to have a heart for the lost. This verse shows us that we are to be prepared to give others the hope or the message of hope that we live by, a hope for the lost that is so desperately needed in our day and time, and to then do it as we minister, as we reach the lost, as we connect with them, as the Lord helps us to connect with the lost in a humble way. So let's talk about the heart first. First of all, the emphasis of that verse is that it all begins with the heart, doesn't it? Now, we're reminded that from a human sinful nature, that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know the potential sinfulness and wickedness of the heart, according to Jeremiah? And so in our sinful nature, the sinful heart is very desperately wicked and is evil and potential of all kinds of wicked behavior, all kinds of criminal activity, if you will. It is desperately wicked. Who can know the potential of that sinful heart? But I'm so thankful that God is in the business of transforming hearts. He regenerates our hearts. He gives us a new heart as followers of Jesus Christ when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior into, as we reference, into our hearts. And so it is that our desire is to have a heart after God, to be sanctified by Him, to be regenerated by Him. And as He does a work in our heart, I believe once again, that as He does a work in our heart and as we have a heart for the things of the Lord, that He's going to change our heart. And I believe that when we have a heart for the Lord, what is important to God will be important to us. And one of the things that we know that is important to the heart of the Lord, as we just referenced just moments ago, is that we see that the lost people and seeking and saving that who is lost, those who are lost, is so very crucial, is so very important. Just moments ago, we referenced John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world, right? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the heart of the Lord. And once again, as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to have the heart of the Lord. Part of that is having a heart for the lost. Part of that is a heart for being the disciple that God is calling us to be, which includes evangelism and reaching people for Jesus Christ, but includes also that we are called to be disciples and to also make disciples. And once again, part of discipleship includes this call to evangelism. And one of the things that we know that as Jesus spent time with His disciples during His earthly ministry, that He poured out His heart and His life into them, and He called them to have this missional mindset that we are talking about this morning. One of the occasions recorded in Matthew chapter 9, He's having this discussion with His disciples. And listen what He goes on to say in Matthew chapter 9, recorded in verse 37 through 38. Then He, referring to, of course, Jesus, said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." And so we intend to be one of those laborers. And then we are praying that the Lord will call more laborers into His field so we can see what? A harvest of souls for the Savior. Yesterday I was reminded of the importance of that truth. I had the opportunity to get a glimpse and to observe what we affectionately call what took place on our field of faith over there on the athletic fields of our property here at Calvary. And I was reminded that approximately seven years ago, we began with a dream. We had a vision, if you will, but we never expected the Lord to do what He has done. We're reminded that He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, right? To the glory of God. Approximately seven years ago, we were just dreaming. We were just casting a vision, if you will. We were so grateful to have 20 people total, including players and coaches, to begin our first season. And so it is that through the years, God has blessed and has increased and such. And we're thankful for what He has done in what we refer to as a ministry of sports for the Savior, if you will. But I was reminded even yesterday as I observed all the volunteers working with those kids, loving on those kids, and those same volunteers that are sharing Scripture with those kids throughout the week. So, such a blessing to know that laborers are certainly in the field, if you will, right? That field of faith. I was reminded, even as I reflected upon last year, last season, we had our greatest numerical growth last year, but it left us with a lot of volunteers, but not enough volunteers. And so, from last season to this season, there was prayer that went into having more volunteers, more laborers, if you will, come alongside. So the Lord blessed us this season with approximately 10 more volunteers, which is huge, because we have about 30 volunteers that are helping in that program this year, and we need them. And I was reminded of the challenges, the struggles, the growing pains, if you will, of last season, to see what it looks like when more laborers come together and co-labor together in God's field of faith. Because our prayer and our desire in that ministry, in that program, is to see God do a harvest of souls and see people grow in the faith if they're already followers of Jesus Christ, and many are, but also if there's people on that field that do not know Jesus, our prayer, our desire is that this season be fulfilled in the greatest way it could ever be accomplished, which is that a soul would come to Christ. Wouldn't that be something? That as our prayer, and I ask you to join along with me, as you think of that ministry, to pray for that ministry, that we will see spiritual fruit, that we'll see souls come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that's just one example. There's many ministries that take place in the life of our church. There's many ministries that might be unofficial that take place in your life. And what I'm going to ask you is this. What is your field of service? What is your field of service? What has God called you to do? And what has God called you to be? And whatever field of service that He has called you to. Maybe that is your workplace. And He has called you to be a light to maybe a place that needs light. Maybe it's your family situation or extended family. Maybe it's your friendship group. Maybe it's the community groups that you are a part of in this community, and God is calling you to be a light to those that are in darkness and need the light of the Lord. Reminded, as you are very familiar, many are very familiar, of the verse that's one of my favorite verses, Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so it is that Jesus is the light of the world, but He has called on us to be lights as well. I get reminded of this every time we do our Christmas Eve communion service, the candlelight Christmas Eve communion service that we do. It starts out with a single candle that is lit. But isn't it a beautiful sight when that one candle representing the light of Christ is passed along, and by the end of the candle, the original one candle being passed along and lit to the other candles, we will have a congregation of light. And isn't that what we are called to be? He is a light, and we are to be that light to others. We're to have a heart of the Lord, and our heart of the Lord is to have a heart for the lost, to be laborers so that we may seek the lost that will come to Christ. So once again, part of the call of discipleship includes evangelism. Therefore, it goes into discipleship once they are followers of Jesus Christ. And it also includes personal obedience as we submit ourselves to the Lord. As you might recall, for those that were with us last week we talked about habits of holiness. Anybody remember that? And as, thank you, somebody remember that. That's great. I'm grateful for that. So we talked about habits of holiness, if you might recall. And we touched on a passage that demonstrates what it looks like to understand the holiness of God and then to be motivated to develop the holiness in our life as we follow the Lord. Be holy for I am holy. That whole mindset. The passage that we borrowed from is in Isaiah chapter 6. And to make a long story short, we have this prophet who is very discouraged, is very disappointed at the beginning of the chapter because King Uzziah had died. Now, he thought a lot of King Uzziah. And when he died, it really impacted him. It really, really hurt him. He grieved for the loss of the king. He really looked up to him. He admired King Uzziah. I'm reminded, by the way, that we might look up to or we might not like our politicians. But always remember that our eyes and our hope is on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the picture of what Isaiah gets. He receives a vision from Almighty God of the throne room of heaven. And as he's in the throne room of heaven in this vision, he is seeing the holiness of God. He gives him a picture of the holiness of God. And as he sees the holiness of God, we're reminded that he sees his sinful condition. And he understands his need as he sees his sinful condition compared to the holiness of God. That he was a man of unclean lips. He had a sinful heart. He had an unclean heart, and he was in need of forgiveness. He was in need of consecration. He was in need of sanctification. And following this awareness and following the Lord touching his life and being able to be consecrated and forgiven and sanctified, we see that following this awareness, following this vision, following what God had done within his heart and in his life and revealing this vision to him, watch how he responds. And just 8 verses later, we see the response of Isaiah to the invitation to serve the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it records that he is referencing, he is seeing, he is hearing the things that are found in the throne room of God. And he's seeing his vision as he's hearing. He goes on to say, that also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The invitation is coming from Almighty God. The invitation is open, and Isaiah is hearing this. And his response goes on to say from the invitation of God. Then I said, referring to Isaiah, here am I, send me. So I'd simply say this. While it's very important to send missionaries and pray for them as we are sending them, it's also important for us to be willing to be a missionary and say, Lord, I hear the call. You're given the invitation. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And our response should be, Lord, send me. Now, that might mean that it is indeed a call to a foreign mission field. Maybe it is a call to plant churches, but maybe it is simply a call, and just importantly, a call to be a light right where you are at. See, the world needs a light. Our country certainly needs a light, but our community needs a light as well. And you and I can be that light wherever we are. And it begins with us and following the light. It begins with a heart for the Lord and therefore a heart for the lost. It begins as the light is shining within our hearts and in our lives and is mirroring to all those whom we come across. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? May the response of our heart as we have a missional mindset be as Isaiah responded to the Lord and his calling upon his life. Here am I. Send me. I want to be a part of your field of faith, whatever that may be. I want to be a part of your working in your fields and seeing your harvest take place. I want to be a laborer and I want to see others come alongside to serve you. So we are called to have a heart for the Lord. We are called to have a heart for the lost. We are also called as people of hope. Did you know we're people of hope? Followers of Jesus Christ, we are people of hope. As people of hope, we are called to share the hope that is found in a relationship with Christ, with people who are without Christ and who therefore are hopeless. Acts chapter 16 gives us a wonderful story of what this looks like. To make a long story short, Paul and Silas are about one of their missionary journeys, and they're preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has empowered them to do miracles, and part of what they do in that time is that God had entrusted them to give miracles, and so there is this lady who, as they are going through the town, going through the community, is following them all along, and she's making statements. And the Apostle Paul, by way of that passage in Acts chapter 16, quite frankly, gets annoyed. And he turns around to her, and he casts out a demon from her. Miraculous moment that we see take place. Oh, you would have thought that would have been a momentous occasion in which everybody would have been happy about. But no, it wasn't. Because she was a fortune teller, given that ability and gifting by a demonic spirit. And so it was that the masters who made a great fortune, literally, off of the fortune telling, they were not happy one bit. And so they created quite the mess and stirred up a hornet's nest, if you will. Next thing we know, they are arrested, they are beaten, and they are thrown in jail. But not only in jail, they are thrown into what is the inner dungeon, because they want to make sure that they cannot escape, that they cannot get out. And watch what they do, which is recorded in Acts chapter 16. Now, I'm just going to admit, from a human perspective, if I was thrown in jail, I would not be a happy camper. I would be probably crying the blues, if you will. I'm just going to be honest. These gentlemen, Paul and Silas, did the exact opposite. Because around 12 o'clock, they said, we're going to sing the praises of Almighty God. We are a people of hope. And so the passage goes on to record that they started singing praises to the Lord. Can you imagine? They're in the inner dungeon. They are literally in stocks. But they are praising God and worshiping Him in prison, in the dungeon. And what does it demonstrate? Oh, the other prisoners heard exactly what was going on. It was a testimony to the prisoners. To make a long story short, shortly after they engage in their worship, there's an earthquake that occurs. Now, I'm hoping we don't have an earthquake. Let's engage in worship. But there's an earthquake that actually occurs. It's a miraculous event. And so because of the praise of these gentlemen, Paul and Silas, to the great God whom they serve, because they are a people of hope. They are filled with joy. They're singing God's praises. Then an earthquake takes place. The doors open and the shackles fall off, to the dismay of the jailer who's responsible for all of those prisoners. Now, the way it worked in that day and time is that they were responsible. If they lost a prisoner, they would be executed. And so the jailer is going to get in front of it. He's not going to let himself fall into the hands of the authority and be executed because he lost these prisoners, which he was responsible for. So he gets his sword. He's about to commit suicide to prevent execution. But the Apostle Paul shouts to him and screams at him, no, stop! Stop! We are all here. Philippian jailer is so touched by the moment that he goes to these gentlemen, Paul and Silas, who had already been a testimony, who had already been a light, who had demonstrated the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. He had been hopeless. He was full of despair. He is about to commit suicide. But in that next moment, because of their testimony, because of their light, he goes on to ask them, what must I do to be saved? So Paul and Silas are able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And he is able to find the hope of salvation found in Christ and Christ alone. And the story gets even better because he takes them, as you might recall, to his home, to his household. And he takes care of their injuries and treats them for their bruises and their injuries and such. And they go on to have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel message to all that were there at the household. And the story goes on to say that not only the jailer gets saved, but his whole household comes to Christ because they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believe and they receive Christ and they are baptized as they become followers of Jesus Christ. Friends, we have a hope that is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of our friends, maybe family, people certainly in the community, certainly in the country, people in the world who are in hopeless, desperate conditions and situations, and we are people of hope. And don't you think that we ought to share the hope of Jesus Christ with a lost and hurting world? Whatever our field is, may we see a harvest take place and see souls come to Jesus Christ. For our responsibility isn't to save the souls. Only the Lord can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, who convicts them of their need. And as they receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, seals them to the day of redemption. But we are responsible to sow that seed into that spiritual field so that the Lord can bring about His harvest. And may we be motivated to evangelize. May we be motivated to have conversations about Christ and for Christ with others. And may we call along other people, followers of Jesus Christ, to that same calling of being co-laborers with each other for the glory of Almighty God, so that we can see a great harvest take place. Sowing the spiritual seed, if you will, the Word of God, so that people can respond to God. What we know is this, that His Word will not return what? Void. But it will accomplish its purpose. So our responsibility is to sow that seed and let God do the work and do the rest. You see, when we have a missional mindset, once again, we're going to have a heart for the Lord, which means we're going to have a heart for the lost. We're going to desire for them to find the same hope that we have as followers of Jesus Christ as we introduce them to Jesus Christ. And we're going to do so with an attitude of humility. According to that verse, reminded that that verse talks about that we do this and we share people with about the hope that we have within us, right? With, as that verse goes on to say, with meekness and fear. And so this should be a conversation. This should be a delivery. This should be given in all of the greatness of who God is, and with meekness and humility, as we are aware, as Isaiah was aware of our sinful condition and the holiness of God and His wonderful grace of God that we have been singing about this morning. And because of this, we understand that He has saved us. We have received this glorious salvation. But we are also reminded that we are sinners saved by grace. This old cathedral song, Southern Gospel fans, and they would go on to say something to the effect, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." When we get a glimpse of that picture, when we understand the reality of that truth, that we're going to approach people very humbly and with meekness and with reverential awe of who God is, because we know that we are not better than anybody. But there we could be just like them, but for the grace of God, right? And so it's this marvelous, matchless grace of God that saves our souls. And we are just sinners saved by grace. And so our desire is for others to see that message, to hear that message, to receive that message. And we come humbly before them, as 1 Peter 5 verse 6 references. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." See, we're not looking for a reward right now. We honor the Lord. And as we honor the Lord in a humble way, before our honor comes humility. Oh, there's going to be a day, someday, where we will see the reward for what we have done for Christ. The Bible talks about that, when He will give us the reward for serving Him and living for Him here in this life. But until that day, we don't have to seek the applause or the pat on the back from anybody. But we do it unto the Lord, humbly, honoring Him, being humble before Him as we carry out His message. Privileged with the blessing that He has called us as followers of Jesus Christ to be part of the ministry of reconciliation, not needing us, but giving us the opportunity to be part and partakers of His work and to be laborers in His field and to be part of seeing His harvest take place. What a privilege. What a blessing that is. Follower of Jesus Christ, don't you want to be part of that blessing and be part of God's work and to see God's harvest come forth and souls to be saved, lives to be changed and transformed for the glory of Almighty God? Don't you want to be part of that? I would simply say this. As Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Be a light to your family. Be a light to your community. Be a light to the country as God leads you and gives you the opportunity to be a light to the community and to the country. Be a light to the world. Maybe sending, maybe praying for missionaries, maybe going, if God's calling you to be a missionary to a foreign field, whatever it may be. Here am I. Send me. In an act of obedience of whatever you're calling me to do, I'm willing to follow in obedience, for it is our reasonable service. Follower of Jesus Christ, may we have a heart for the Lord, which means we're going to have a heart for the lost. May we introduce them to the hope that is found in only Jesus Christ, and may we do it with humility. The invitation is also open to you here if you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It has been our privilege and our blessing to open up the Word of God, to share from some Scripture this morning, to show one the heart of the Lord, because it is the Word of the Lord which reveals to us the heart of the Lord. It's His love letter to us. And so we have seen that. And I got to tell you today that if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible, which is His love letter to you, reveals to you and to me included that apart from the Lord, we are sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible says clearly in the Word of God, for the wages of sin is death. This is talking about physical death, yes. But more importantly, it's referencing spiritual death, which is referencing a person that does not know Christ and goes into eternity without Christ. The Bible says they are separated from God for all eternity. And we don't want you to be that person. The Bible says for wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We want you to receive that gift. The gift of salvation, the gift of His Son, the gift of the Spirit of God who indwells the life of the believer. We want you to receive that gift. It is free from the Lord. For by grace, that grace we have been talking about throughout this service, for by grace we have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. I can't earn it. You can't earn it. We're not good enough, because when we compare our good to His holiness, we see our sinfulness. Isaiah also referenced that when he compared the sin in another passage, it was as if you're pulling out filthy rags, all the good things that you've ever done, in comparison to the holiness of Almighty God, is just simply filthy rags. We can't compare to His holiness. So God, in His great love for us, sent His only begotten Son, who was holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, fully God, who became fully man to die for your sins and my sins. The beautiful thing that takes place on the cross is He dies for your sins and my sins. He was buried. He rose again a third day according to Scripture, the completed work of Jesus Christ on that cross to provide you and I salvation so that you and I could be set free. The great exchange takes place because He took our sin upon Himself and in our place so that we might, listen to this, have the righteousness of God. You see, someday, follower of Jesus Christ, when you pass from this life into life and you stand in the doorway of heaven, if you will, and you will be able to enter heaven, not based on the righteousness of which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And we go marching right into heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is my hope. That is your hope. Someday, followers of Jesus Christ, that hope will be fulfilled as we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ and received His marvelous and matchless grace of Jesus. But if you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to have that hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you have not done so before. The invitation will be open to you to receive that invitation, that gift from Almighty God. As a worship team comes forward, as we prepare our hearts for this time of invitation, join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come before you, and we are so grateful for your marvelous and matchless grace. It has seemed to be a theme throughout the service this morning. We've also talked about the hope of Jesus Christ. We've sung about it. We've read about it. We've talked about it. And it is certainly the reality that you are our hope. And you we hope, and you we hope alone. Christ alone is our hope. Hope of glory, Christ alone. So followers of Jesus Christ, we praise you, O Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord, that you saved our souls. Thank you, O Lord, that that grace sustains us each and every day. You do walk with us and talk to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. We are grateful for those things. Now, O Lord, one of the things that you have said in your Word is that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have the opportunity to serve you and be co-laborers with you and to participate and partake in this ministry of reconciliation that you have called us to. So help us, O Father, as followers of Jesus Christ, to have this missional mindset and to be disciple makers, evangelizing the lost, and then seeing people and being part of the effort of seeing people grow in the Lord. We do pray. That's what our desire is, to be a disciple and to make disciples of all people. And so, Lord, the first step of that is for one to come to Christ, understanding that they are a sinner and in need, in desperate need of the Savior. But you gave us the hope. You provided a salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There's one here that has never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Oh, Lord, help them to do so today. Help them to experience this love, this hope, this salvation that we have talked about. This we do pray. Bless this time of invitation. You work in your way, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory for what you accomplish. This we do pray. In Jesus' name.